Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study, 1 John chapter 5, I was telling about a young lady that I was able to lead to the Lord on an airplane. Hey, let's end the week on that thought. And I used the illustration about the man on the high wire that going back and forth and so forth there. And when people see that he can do just about anything, then you say, okay, get on my back, I'll take you across this high wire. And they say, how high it is up and down below is no net, just concrete. And they say, no. But if every room on that 20-story building is on fire and smoke's billowing up so helicopters can't get to you, fire trucks can't reach you, and then you need it delivered, that guy's there, and you know he can do it, then you're willing to trust him with your life, even as hard as it may be. And you may even say, what I need to help you. He says, nothing. Get on. Just get on, and we'll get you over to the other side. And so you just let him do the work, but you trust your life with him. So that's what you're doing with Christ. Actually, when Eve was made, she was made to be a helpmeet, to help meet God's goal in Adam's life. And so that family, the two became one, and they were to work together, in which Adam was to be the head. That meant that she was to follow him. But he was to lead her in love, and she was to follow him in love. And so, they would to work together to accomplish the will of God in their lives. Okay, that is a commitment. That is a commitment. That is love. And that is a heart belief. Okay, that is it. Well, this girl was going on to say, you know, I think I just... That was emotion, but this settles. So she had it settled right there, right that moment. She had it settled. And so we talked a little bit further, and I says, you know, my seat was assigned all the way there in the back. And so I says, I don't think it's an accident. I think God had this plan for me to be moved all the way up here to the front and sit here in this seat. She says, well, you know what? She was a medical person that worked in, I think, medical supplies, but she said, you know, I had a presentation to make, and the people weren't going to show up, so I just decided rather than just spend the night in this city, I'd just go ahead and fly on home. And so I said, okay, then God put you here and put you in this seat, didn't he? She says, I know it's of God. And so the flight, there was a short flight, and it landed then, and she got off and thanked me and all that. But I told her about it. I said, where'd you live? And she lived in a place I think it's in Wilmington, North Carolina. And that's where she was going to next. And she said, that was home. And I said, man, we're on some radio stations there. I told her, look for an FBN, Google it. Look for FBN and find out which stations are in Wilmington. Then I said, find a good Baptist church. I said, an independent Baptist. I said, now, it needs to be independent, and they need to use King James Bible and not use that rock and roll music. She spoke up. She says, you know what? I went back to church 1 month ago, like I told you, but that's the only time I went back because they were using that music. I just couldn't feel right down deep. That was right. That was kind of the music we played out there, you know, in the world. And they're out there doing all that. I just didn't understand all that. Church was never like that when I was young. I thought, oh my. Oh my. Here's somebody that can suddenly get things right with God and then look back and see. That's the life I left, and see it being active in the church. She didn't go back to church. She couldn't feel right there. She couldn't be right there. And so that just was something, again, that showed me, hey, do it right. So again, it's not a moment of emotion. It's a life. It's a life commitment. You may be very happy on your marriage night, you know, and you go through the wedding vows and all, it's a big time. I mean, everything, people there, they're celebrating, but it goes on after that without the celebrations, okay? It's a life commitment. Like marriage, it's a one-time event that affects the rest of your life when you receive Christ. Now, there are some good marriages, there are some average marriages, and then there are some bad marriages. But you know what? That is a billion times better to have a bad marriage than it is to move in and live together without marriage, because that is adultery, that is the gutter, that is the low, and that is so wrong, and in God's sight, it's as bad as homosexuality, is as bad as all this gender stuff that's going on today, and it's as bad as and abominable to God as any other sin would be. And so I'm just saying is that God has a standard. Just because you say, well, I don't believe that, it doesn't make it you're right and God's wrong. Okay, the Creator is always right. And so when you get married, it is a life commitment, just like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33 teaches, where he's talking about wives being submitted to husband, husbands loving their wives. He goes through there, but he says, I speak of Christ concerning the church. In other words, he's telling us that marriage is a picture of what salvation, not salvation, a picture of marriage. No, marriage is a picture of what salvation is supposed to be. And so that's why you want your marriage to be the best it can be, because you men, you're showing what Christ is to us, and you women are showing what you're to be to Christ, what all of us are to be to Christ. And no man, I think, that any man expects subjection out of his wife when he won't be obedient to God, has a problem that he is so wrong and just simply doesn't understand. Now, the Lord did all the work for our salvation. He did not come to this planet to live a perfect life in order to become a worthy sacrifice for our sin. No, he didn't just do that. No, he didn't come just to sacrifice for our sins, live this worthy life, okay? Just live this great, perfect life so that he could be a worthy sacrifice for our sin. So those who become his children can be well-adjusted and live morally straight lives, enjoying personal happiness and success in life, this life? No. He died to redeem us from the penalty and the power of sin. Now, you cannot overcome sin. Take your own sin away in order to make you holy and acceptable before the Almighty God of the universe, when we are brought before the Creator. Now, my friend, I hate to sound simple, but I guess I am simple, am I not? Because, again, as I said, we're not talking about a moment of emotion, but rather a lifetime commitment that's not forsaken, and it's not something that you leave at the first sight of a trial, like the sun on the seed on the rock. No, this is a in the good ground soil faith, okay? My friend, the simple question is this. Do you believe that God lies to us? Well, you say, of course not. I'd never say that. I don't believe God lies to us. And you'd be absolutely right. God does not lie to us. This is written to those who believe on the name of the Son of God. He is the Son, the actual offspring of God in seed, as the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. Now, listen, I've been asked questions about that. That was not sexual. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. He came upon her, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't have to have sex with us to come in us, okay? So again, that was not a sexual thing. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary to prepare her and place the seed within her, and that was a supernatural thing. And then for the next 9 months, the Father would actually work to prepare that body, develop it all 9 months as a baby would, as a human baby would, before it was born. So the Father, the Holy Spirit, all were involved in the birth of the Son of God in his humanity. It was not a sexual thing. So I want you to understand that. And he was placed inside her. And by the way, let me just say this. This is kind of on the side from what I'm saying right now, but, you know, we just come off Christmas now. Now, when you're listening to this, it won't be just off Christmas, but just coming off Christmas. I don't believe that Jesus Christ was born on December the 25th. I don't even think he's born in December. You see, shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night up there near Bethlehem. You know that that's in a park high up in the mountains, and it's very cold in December there. And you wouldn't have sheep grazing up there at that time. No. They would be taken back. They'd have hay in the caves there, which would serve as the barns. And by the way, I've been in some of those caves, definitely huge caves. And so you can see that where Jesus would be laying in the feeding trough, the manger, and there'd be hay there because it was that time of year. And so I'd see them laying Jesus there if that was the case. But I believe it's in September that Jesus was born. And it could have been late September, early October. I don't know, but I don't think any of us really know that for sure. We will know one day, but I believe by December, the animals were back in there. The animals were in there, and they wouldn't want a baby in there eating their hay or laying in the hay they're eating. Okay, so, and the people around it, no, I'm not too sure that the sheep would want that. Not too sure that the father would want his son around all those smelly sheep. But I do believe this. If Jesus was born in September, it's quite possible and probable that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary in December, late December. And so, when we celebrate the life of Jesus Christ's birth, let's think of it this way. Life begins at conception. You say, well, where do you get that at, Pastor? You remember that after Mary in Luke chapter 1, she finds out the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and that thing which shall be born of her shall be called the Son of God. She asked all about it and so forth. And then soon she finds that out, the angels told her that, the Holy Ghost comes upon her. The Bible tells us that she immediately goes out to her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is with child. She's in the 6th month with her, and she is carrying John the Baptist inside her. So I just want you to think this through just a little bit. The babe inside Elizabeth jumps when Mary enters, who at most could be 2 weeks pregnant, if that. Probably less than that, because she left straight and goes there.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on his